The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus came to Jericho and intended to pass through the town. Now a man there named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector and also a wealthy man, was seeking to see who Jesus was, but he could not see him because of the crowd, for he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree in order to see Jesus, who was about to pass that way. When he reached the place, Jesus looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down quickly, for today I must stay at your house." And he came down quickly and received him with joy. When they saw all this, they began to grumble, saying, "He has gone to stay at the house of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Behold, half of my possessions, Lord, I shall give to the poor. And if I have extorted anything from anyone, I shall repay it four times over." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a descendant of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save what was lost." While they were listening to him speak, he proceeded to tell a parable because he was near Jerusalem, and they thought that the kingdom of God would appear there immediately. So he said, "A nobleman went off to a distant country to obtain the kingship for himself and then to return. He called 10 of his servants and gave them 10 gold coins and told them, 'Engage in trade with these until I return.' His fellow citizens, however, despised him and sent a delegation after him to announce, 'We do not want this man to be our king.' But when he returned after obtaining the kingship, he had the servants called to whom he had given the money to learn what they had gained by trading. The first came forward and said, 'Sir, your gold coin has earned 10 additional ones.' He replied, 'Well done, good servant. You have been faithful in this very small matter. Take charge of 10 cities.' Then the second one came and reported, 'Your gold coin, sir, has earned 5 more.' And to this servant, he said, 'You take care of 5 cities.' Then the other servant came and said, 'Sir, here is your gold coin. I kept it stored away in a handkerchief, for I was afraid of you because you are a demanding person. You take up what you did not lay down, and you harvest what you did not plant.' He said to him, 'With your own words I shall condemn you, you wicked servant. You knew I was a demanding person, taking up what I did not lay down and harvesting what I did not plant. Why did you not put my money in a bank? Then on my return I would have collected it with interest.' And to those standing by he said, 'Take the gold coin from him and give it to the servant who has 10. But they said to him, 'Sir, he has 10 gold coins.' I tell you, to everyone who has, more will be given. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. Now, as for those enemies of mine who did not want me as their king, bring them here and slay them before me." After he had said this, he proceeded on his journey up to Jerusalem. As he drew near to Bethphage and Bethany at the place called the Mount of Olives, he sent 2 of his disciples. He said, "Go into the village opposite you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tethered on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it here. And if anyone should ask you, 'Why are you untying it?' you will answer, 'The master has need of it.' So those who had been sent went off and found everything just as he had told them. And as they were untying the colt, its owners said to them, 'Why are you untying this colt?' They answered, 'The master has need of it.' So they brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks over the colt, and helped Jesus to mount. As he rode along, the people were spreading their cloaks on the road. And now as he was approaching the slope of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of his disciples began to praise God aloud with joy for all the mighty deeds they had seen. They proclaimed, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." He said in reply, "I tell you, if they keep silent, the stones will cry out." As he drew near, he saw the city and wept over it, saying, "If this day you only knew what makes for peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. For the days are coming upon you when your enemies will raise a palisade against you. They will encircle you and hem you in on all sides. They will smash you to the ground and leave your children within you. And they will not leave one stone upon another within you, because you did not recognize the time of your visitation." Then Jesus entered the temple area and proceeded to drive out those who were selling things, saying to them, "It is written, 'My house shall be a house of prayer,' but you have made it a den of thieves." And every day he was teaching in the temple area. The chief priests and the scribes and the leaders of the people, meanwhile, were seeking to put him to death. But they could find no way to accomplish their purpose, because all the people were hanging on his words. The Gospel of the Lord. Christ came to seek and to save what was lost. Sometimes it's in very simple ways that our hearts can immediately recognize this attempt at our salvation, but sometimes it comes in unexpected ways. Just look at Zacchaeus. Here is a social outcast, because he's not only taken his own people's money to give it over to the foreign invader, but on top of that, he's also taken extra and made a profit for himself. In a sense, he's not only short in stature, but also short in virtue. And when Christ comes and calls out to him, it surprises everyone, including Zacchaeus. And this shock, it sets his heart on fire and wakes it from its slumber. And it helps the lifeblood of virtue begin to flow through a body that had become numb to grace. And in his conversion, we see a profound attempt not only to justly restore what had been taken from the Israelites, but also to go beyond that, an attempt to do penance before God. And then, with his heart having been transformed, Christ went to stay in his house. In a sense, we're all a little like Zacchaeus. We all have those struggles in our hearts that numb us to God's graces. It could be a real sin we struggle with. It could be an apathy to work harder in the spiritual life. It could be a weakened trust in God's goodness, since he hasn't seemed to hear our heartfelt prayers. Whatever is the cause, we might want that spiritual shock to the system like Zacchaeus got. The Lord might do this, but he also might not. Ultimately, what he wants to do is to come and stay in the homes of our hearts. He wants to rest within us, to remain with us, because his long-term presence is far more important than any brief jolt, however exciting or impressive it might be. Christ does come to us, and he wants us to let him in. But ultimately, he's going to do it in whatever way we will welcome him for all eternity. Christ comes seeking the lost so that he can save us. Just look at his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. We finally come to Holy Week in the Gospel of Luke, and Christ comes humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Since the question was already in the minds of the Jews about whether or not Jesus was the Messiah, they would have seen this prophecy from Isaiah come to life as Jesus rides in on the donkey. And so they laid their palm branches, those symbols of peace, they laid them before him as they publicly proclaimed, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Hosanna in the highest." But then after he arrives, what happens? He comes to the temple and finds that the people have disgraced it. He finds that the most sacred building on the planet has been co-opted by the greedy. And now it's not an individual like Zacchaeus, but the whole people that has come to profit off the people. And in his righteous anger, he overturns the tables, disrupts their sails, corrects them, and seeks the deeper conversion of their hearts. This is surprising, and it again shocks the system. Isn't this what we might want at some point? Don't we often wish that the Lord could be so clear to us, and that the King of Universe would just come and uproot our attachments to sin so that he can rest in the temples of our hearts, where we can enter into worship that is right and just? But again, he doesn't often come this way, because his primary mode of seeking the lost is by whatever means will lead us to a full and long-lasting conversion. Sometimes he works on our hearts slowly, overturning one table at a time, so we can come to love what he's done, rather than try to set up that table again and again as we fall back into old habits. In a sense, he's often overturning the tables of our hearts. It just might not always be so dramatic or visible. So let us welcome the King as he comes. As he comes to us, removing the figurative money changers, tables that are sin and attachment to sin. And instead, let us lay down the palm branches of virtuous actions as he approaches us each and every day, so that he might humbly ride into the temples of our hearts as we sing to him, "Blessed are you, O King, you who come in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Hosanna in excelsis." Lord Jesus, you desire to come and seek us, we who are lost, so that you can save us. You who desire that we climb out of the trees of this world and come down to you, where we will not only make restitution for the wrongs we have done, but also go even further by living in virtue. You desire that we leave aside old ways and welcome you into the temples of our hearts, where you can find true adoration and worship. It is you who we come to adore today, present before us in this most blessed sacrament. And we praise you, King of heaven and King of hearts. Help us to live in your peace, so that in everything we do, we may give you praise and glory, honor and thanksgiving. And both in this life and in the life to come, sing to you with all the heavenly choirs, "Hosanna in the highest." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.